B-Pod Studios.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
These guys,
oh my lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number three, Dutcher and Rich. Jones, Wallach, Lockhart. Taking you up until 10 on a Wednesday, 617-779-0985. Want to get to the Patriots. Not hyperbole, not exaggeration, a disaster yesterday for the Patriots at training camp. We can also get to one of Tom Brady's former teammates weighing in on his return to Gillette week four against the New England Patriots. We were discussing a story that's made a lot of headlines, gotten a lot of interaction, engagement on social media. This Frontier Airlines flight. With the passenger, I forgot his name, Maxwell Berry? Is that right? Maxwell Berry. Freaking out, screaming about his parents, fighting flight attendants, getting duct taped down to the seat. And we were discussing some bad flights. Wallach mentioned some freaking out on the tarmac that he's seen. James in Rhode Island wants to weigh in on that. Go ahead, James.
Hey, guys. I was just telling the guys, I was on a flight from LAX to Honolulu. Couple years ago, it's like 6 hour flight, whatever.
Okay.
And this couple, about a half hour into the flight, maybe 45 minutes, starts getting up to go to the bathroom. And at first we noticed like the flight attendants started gathering around the bathrooms, and turns out that they had gone in there to smoke. And so I guess they got
now,
caught.
Now
and
smoke,
then
smoke
a little
what?
While later they
smoke
went
what?
Back
hey, James,
in.
James, 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 smoke what?
Yo. Huh?
Smoke what?
Oh, just cigarettes. Just cigarettes.
Okay. I was hoping it was crack or something.
That's right, exactly. I wanted to know exactly what we're talking about.
I got to keep that smell out for too long.
Smoke some cigs.
Yeah,
okay.
I hear you. So I guess they went back in, and a little bit later, they disabled the smoke detector so they wouldn't get caught. Nice. Well, I guess that triggers a warning, too. So the flight attendants go walking back again. Turns out, because there's no flight smoke detectors in the bathrooms, they have to close those bathrooms. So we're in about 5 hours left on this flight to Honolulu with one bathroom in the whole plane. And every single person that's standing in line for the bathroom is glaring at these people the whole flight. Of course, when we get to Honolulu, they get taken off first and nobody ever sees them again. So,
So I don't really have an issue on flights. I got to be honest with the bag. I try not to use the bag. It's such a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Pain in the ass to wiggle your way out of there. And like, I have to have the bladder of like a 65-year-old. Like I go back and forth to this bathroom a million times. So like it's not like normally I have like this superpower to be able to hold it. But on a flight, I don't want to go in that bathroom. I don't like being in that bathroom. I don't like crawling over people.
Stinks in there.
Yeah, I just don't like, everybody knows where you're going to. Yeah. Like, I don't like that either. It's like, oh, this guy, he's going down to the bathroom now. Like, I don't like that aspect on the flight. Like now, you know, you're in like a zoo. Everybody's looking at you on the way to the bathroom. Like, I don't like that element. So I would hold, I think I could have made do with zero bathrooms. That's where I thought he was going.
No,
even on a long,
6 hours.
Even on a long flight, I think I could hold it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everybody could.
No, I'm definitely one of those people.
But I think I could hold it.
Dehydration for me starts the night before. You don't drink any water. Then you don't have any water that morning. And then you
even
pee before you get on the plane.
Like, how long a flight was it to your
I'd rather hold it than share one bathroom with a whole flight.
Hours, I think.
That's right, terrible.
So you were on a 4.5 hour flight, didn't have to go to the bathroom once.
No, but the people next to me got up like six
exactly.
times. I was getting really annoyed.
That's the worst, because I prefer aisle seats over windows.
That's what I had,
And you're always stuck with the person who has to get up five or six times.
Yep.
Yes.
I had to pause the departed like seven times.
Yes.
It was very inconvenient for me.
Sharing that one bathroom, and it's not like a germ thing.
No.
That's not my issue with it. It's just I'm all cramped in there.
Yeah.
I don't like having to crawl over people. I like having to ask strangers to move out of my way so I can crawl over and make a big scene where everybody knows I'm walking down the hallway to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Or down the path there, the runway.
Wait till you fly with your kids and you have to take them to the bathroom
That is true. So I didn't really think about that. I've flown with my kid twice. The first one was a disaster. The second one, not so bad. The first one.
Wait a minute. What happened?
I've said this to many people. He was like one. We flew to St. Louis. We have friends in St. Louis. This is pre-pandemic. And we were lucky we were flying that way, not the other way back to Boston, because my kid was just the worst, just crying the whole flight, screaming the whole flight.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to the Midwest. Everybody's very friendly. So that was nice. That was nice going there. The last trip, no incidents, going to Charlotte, where my in-laws live, but that would have been a problem with a kid on a flight with one bathroom.
Yeah, I took my two daughters when they were like 4 and 2 to Disney.
Yeah.
And my wife put them in gigantic princess dresses. So I'm dealing with kids in the bathroom with gigantic princess dresses.
Yeah. Nice.
That was a feat, I'll tell you.
They both had to go at the same time or no?
Every 10 minutes it seemed like.
Well,
yeah.
First flight,
my kid didn't like the depressurization of the cabin. And his
screaming.
Screaming for... like at the top of his lungs, as loud as he can possibly scream for about 25 minutes.
Yep.
And then the flight attendant comes over. And you know it's bad when the flight attendant comes over and goes, is there something I can do to help?
Yo, the worst.
No,
that's what that
is. There's absolutely not. Now that you're here, problem solved. You know, no problem. Thank God you have arrived. You who do not know my kid are going to fix the problem instead of me, who has lived the kid's entire life. No, no, no. I'm sure now that you're here, take off your Superman cape and step on in.
Yeah. Imagine if he gave her the kid and he stopped screaming and looked at you like, you effer.
Right. Worst. Like, don't you even know how to parent?
Yeah. I know.
Hang on. Let's take another one of these. Mike is in Warwick. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, how are you? So I was on a flight from Phoenix to L.A., and we noticed that Anthony Michael Hall was up in first class with, I can't remember the actress name from Avatar, but she's sitting next to him, and it's a short enough flight, but I guess he got his drinks in, and at the end of the flight, we heard some commotion up front, and by the time we got off the plane, they had him in cuffs in the airport. Apparently, he was groping her and just causing her.
Anthony Michael Hall.
It's got to be Michelle Rodriguez.
Was she in Avatar?
Yes, she was a helicopter pilot.
It's been a while since I've seen Avatar.
Now, it's either her or Sigourney Weaver. Those are the only two I remember.
Now, you'd think this would be easy to fact check that call. Like, you'd think that would be easy. Yeah, you'd think that would be easy to come up with. From Phoenix to L.A.? No, nothing out there on the old interwebs there?
You would have had a story, Anthony Michael Hall arrested on flight. It would have been very easy to spot.
I would think that would be one.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing anything.
Maybe the lookalike industry is very lucrative. Maybe it was an Anthony Michael Hall lookalike.
He's had a few issues, some disturbing the peace,
but nothing mid flight.
No. Not that I'm seeing. No.
Okay. All right. Well, good to know.
Felony battery.
We're nothing. You know.
That's colorful.
Yeah. We don't need to go to bat for the guy. It doesn't sound like
interesting.
Doesn't sound like it was any issues on a flight. That we know about. We don't want to be spreading any fake news like Wallach about Jen McCaffrey and her appearances on the show earlier today. So speaking of earlier today, I mentioned, and this is not, I understand it's August 4th. I understand it's day one of padded practices at training camp. Not hyperbole, not an exaggeration. Yesterday was a disaster for the Patriots. An unmitigated disaster for the Patriots. Cam Newton was good and Mac Jones was terrible. In the 11-on-11s, I think Mac Jones was better in 7-on-7. He wasn't very good in the one-on-one sessions, I guess, at the beginning of practice either. But in the 11-on-11s, the most competitive team-wide practice at the end, first day in full pads, he was 1-for-6. Cam Newton was something like 5-for-7. Mac Jones threw a pick, could have been intercepted again. That's a disaster for the Patriots. Hopefully, being Cam Newton, he goes out and pulls a Cam Newton and stinks today. And Mac Jones, because he's up and down as a rookie, has a better day today. Like, hopefully there's no consistency, no continuity to this. But if that continues and Cam's your quarterback, it's a disaster. Because I think Mac Jones, through the first 4 or 5 days of camp, whatever it was before the pads came on, was neck and neck with Cam Newton. And I think if they're even, that was going to be Mac's job. Now, another day or two like this, I don't know that he can get it back. And again, that is bad, bad news. We all know what Cam Newton is. Are you convinced he's now something else because he had one good day of training camp? No. So that was a mess. That was a disaster. That's how I feel about it.
You
can weigh in at any time, but that's how I feel about it.
Jones, I'm looking at the clock, and I'm thinking, okay, that means Jones is going to go to commercial after this.
Oh,
but
excuse me.
Honestly, I wanted Jones to be the starting quarterback of this team ever since he got drafted. I don't want another day of Cam Newton under center, but that's what's going to happen. You have a week until the first exhibition game. Jimmy Garoppolo, who Tom Curran said was behind in his evolution, further behind than Mac Jones is at this point in his career. Jimmy Garoppolo was awful in practice and great in games. I'm not convinced Mac Jones is that guy. So I think what Mac Jones does here is going to carry over to when you have games against other teams or joint practices against other teams. And as we've said multiple times over the last 24 hours, Patriots have to make this decision in 2 or 3 weeks, not 5. So the clock's running. He has to be better soon in order to take this job from Cam.
Yeah, no, yes, like soon, like today.
Yes.
Like he needs to win the day. Like he needs to win the day today, or at least make it even and win tomorrow or something like that.
At least, you know, send up a signal, you know, give us some kind of signal that you're willing to fight for this job and not be inconsistent. I need that in my life. I don't want another second of Cam Newton as his team's starting quarterback.
617-779-0985. We can get to Brady. His return to Foxborough, a former teammate, has weighed in on that. Coming up, and we have Andrew Callahan of the Boston Herald joining us next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
Richard and Rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
John Wallach, Mike Lockhart, and for Toucher and Rich today as we take you up until 10 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. Could be a long commute if you're north of the city. I guess 495 in the Boxborough area.
Eish.
We have a tractor trailer crash.
Oh, God.
Like tractor trailer. I was just seeing a little bit of the news clip. It's on an overpass, but it looked like it hit the guardrail, so some of the debris from the guardrail fell off onto the road below.
Man,
so it's down to one lane. It's about a 7-mile backup.
Oh, go home.
Yeah. Yikes.
No, 495 is lousy, like, on a normal commute.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is.
It's a horrible commute either way. And to add this into it, I mean, summer will help.
7-mile backup?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Boxborough with a B.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully you're already out of that vicinity if you're trying to commute to work here this morning. Maybe a good day to zoom in. Maybe a good day to call in, as it were, if possible. And calling us now, Andrew Callahan, Patriots beat writer for the Boston Herald. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Andrew, Patriots had their first padded practice yesterday. They'll be back out there this morning. I know Bill Belichick is speaking momentarily. I termed yesterday a disaster for the Patriots. Like, if Cam Newton is going to do that while Mac Jones looks like that, then to me, the Patriots are right back in the same spot they were last year at quarterback. That, to me, is a disaster. I know it's only one day. I know it's only August 4th, but I don't know. Talk me down off the ledge a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you're taking, excuse me, the words out of my mouth there. The only disaster in my mind you can have after one practice on August 3rd is a season-ending injury. You know, they just put on the pads for the first time. We heard all throughout the spring and all throughout last week from players and coaches alike, look, this isn't real football yet. So in our first day of real football, it was mostly focused on the run. Cam only had 8 passes during competitive team periods. Mac had 9. One was a clear interception, another a near interception, but it was his worst practice yet. So he'll have a chance to bounce back today, tomorrow, the day after that, all next week, 3 preseason games. We got a long way to go.
All right, were we expecting too much from Mac Jones considering it wasn't football yet? I mean, we read stories from you and from a lot of other people that were there saying he looked smooth, he was completing ball. Well, Kendrick Bourne was talking earlier about he was amazed that Jones was able to fit the ball into a small window for a rookie, and everyone's singing his praises. But, I mean, it just seems like we pumped him up too quickly.
You know, I think the truth with training camp always lies in the trends. It's not in a single pass, which, you know, we get to talk to Kendrick Bourne. He's a very outgoing, open, honest guy, and it was nice to have that from him, whereas you talk to almost any other Patriot, and it's, you know, Mac looks good, we'll see how it goes tomorrow. And there's truth in that, too, but I think from the big-picture standpoint, if you're reading these stories, and I keep the completion percentage, again, just for competitive periods, either 7-on-7s or 11-on-11s, Cam has a higher completion percentage. So as much as Mac might be having the higher highs, he's also having some of the lower lows. And we saw that yesterday, but, you know, it really depends on the day. I think this competition has mostly been a draw with a slight edge to Kim over the last couple of days. But, again, no decisions are being made before the first preseason game, you know, let alone after one pad of practice.
Okay, well, so I do want to circle back to what you just said. You said first preseason game. That to me is what I have circled too. Like, you can't draw this competition out too long. At some point, you have to choose a quarterback and get them the reps. I mean, for me personally, I've circled those joint practices as a good time to, you know, really make a decision in this quarterback race. So you said earlier they have time. They are kind of running out of time, though, to make a decision to get these guys the reps. So when is that drop-dead date in your mind to make the call?
Honestly, it could be a month from now, because you mentioned the joint practices. You know, they'll have this opening preseason game against Washington next week. You've got joints against Philadelphia, second preseason game, and then a third preseason game against the Giants, before which you have more joint practices. So I think, you know, we don't know exactly how the Patriots and other NFL teams are going to handle the reps, where most of the starters, as we all know, really sit the last preseason game, but played a lot in the third. There is no more fourth preseason game. So I think the Patriots are going to try to extract as much information from these preseason games and joint practices and delay this decision almost as long as they can. Now, it could be made earlier, right? You know, if Mac continues to have practices like yesterday, or Cam takes a nosedive over the next couple of weeks, that makes the decision easily. There's no more data to be mined. But I think there's a lot more information to be gleaned from the next month.
Andrew, where do you fall on Cam Newton? Do you think that last year he suffered because he was in a COVID fog the last 2 months, and you think he'll be better now that he's healthy and has a full year in the system? Or do you think, like I do, that he's done and we're going to get more of the same if he's starting in September?
I'm somewhere in the middle, and I know that's the boring answer, but I think when he talked about his struggles over the last 2 months that you just referenced, it wasn't so much a mental fog where he was slow to process. I mean, he was on the field, right? But in terms of, there were no lingering symptoms like that. It was just the delay and interruption for what him, you know, we just talk about a short timeline to get ready for week one here. He gets in late June. This is the most complex system in the NFL. He has the worst receiving core around him, and then he gets COVID, and then the rest of the team does too. So you take away a lot of those things now in this season, which in my mind is reason for optimism. I think when you look at Cam's, you know, career, he's had two outlier seasons, right? Last year was his worst. The MVP season was his best. For the most part, in every other year, he's been between the 12th and 18th best quarterback in the league, about average. I think we'll get that this year. The trouble is their first 4 weeks are against all defenses that ranked in the top 12 last year against the pass. So he might struggle. And then the Patriots have to decide, again, is it a function of circumstance or is this him?
All right, so the defense, I feel like, is going to be the strength of the team this year. They bring in Matthew Judon. Apparently, Christian Barmore yesterday was just crushing guys, and nobody could block him at all. And then Kyle Duggar apparently has looked really good at camp so far. How good is this defense going to be? Are they going to be able to carry this team into a playoff?
I think so, if they're healthy. You know, I think anything under a top 10 ranking by the end of the year will be a disappointment. You look at the people they brought in. It's always a matter of fit in free agency, right? Because, you know, when they spend all this money in March and everyone's going, oh, wow, great moves by the Patriots, the next thought was, well, has this ever worked for anyone else? And the reason is often no, because you just don't know about fits with these veterans until you have them in the building. But from the little information we have so far, Matt Judon yesterday was the best defender against the run I saw. He had a sack. You have other players like Devon Godchow who are winning their one-on-ones. And then you mentioned the rookies coming in. You know, Christian Barmore had a phenomenal day. I don't know if that'll be consistent, but they could honestly redshirt him with their other pass rushers, because Josh Uche in his second season looks phenomenal. And yes, it's training camp. It's time for optimism. But the point for me with this defense is there's just depth. Last year, they're signing guys off the street. They're playing undrafted rookies. They don't have to do that this year without a ton of injuries. And that allows Bill Belichick to do what he does best, which is game plan and problem solve week to week.
You know, I look at some of the additions that they made this offseason, and I do have some question marks about who's going to stand out, how quickly they can assimilate. It does sound like Jonnu Smith, after missing time at minicamp, has been one of the guys who's looked pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, context is key with everything. I talk about the completion percentage for the quarterbacks, and I only do competitive live reps, where as close to a game as you can get. And Jonnu Smith, with his routes, he's run a lot of drag routes, those shallow crosses, a couple of screens here and there. So there's not a whole lot of intermediate and deep throws that he's catching, and he's actually been defended pretty well in the red zone by Adrian Phillips. But the diversity in which they're using him, to me, it not only says, A, he can do a lot of things, but the Patriots have confidence in him to be able to grasp all these different packages and plays that he's a part of. So I think he'll be a monster in the red zone once he gets past Adrian Phillips here. And beyond that, they want to feed him the ball, which we haven't really said about a lot of players over recent years.
Is the offense, and I understand, the two big acquisitions for the Patriots were a tight end. And Cam Newton, when he had his big success in Carolina, had good tight ends to throw the football to. So I said that to ask you this. Is this offense more suited to Mac Jones's strengths or Cam Newton's strengths?
Yeah, it's a good question, too, because it's not only in the passing sense, right? It has to do with the run blocking, which is part of the appeal of signing two big tight ends. When you put them out in the field, you don't know if this will be a run or a pass or a play-action throw. So I think it suits Cam Newton in the essence that, you know, again, it plays to that running style where he can run a lot of option stuff and you have bigger bodies out there without sacrificing some pass-catching talent and the tight end aspect of it. But I think also for Mac Jones, you know, a good tight end is really any young quarterback's best friend. I mean, we say that about the running game, but we know now from a lot of years of research, it's just kind of an inefficient proposition you have to throw in there every once in a while. Just hand the ball off, keep the defense honest. But the tight end is going to be his check down. It's a middle-of-the-field throw, the clearest view that he'll have instead of throwing out to the sideline. So I think it'll help both of them overall, probably a little bit leaning more towards Cam, because we saw Mac in really a downfield attack on an RPO offense at Alabama, but it really works for both.
All right, he is Andrew Callahan. You can check him out in the Boston Herald. You can follow him on Twitter at _AndrewCallahan. We know Belichick is speaking momentarily, so you're not going to want to miss any of that. He's usually electric on these early mornings. So you go get that, Andrew. We'll talk to you down the line.
Sounds good. Yeah, nothing wakes you up like a cup of coffee with a little bit of Bill on the Zoom. So
No, nothing could possibly top that. Andrew Callahan, as all our guests, joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. I know what day it is, and I know it's just the first padded practice. Disaster. Yesterday was a disaster. Like I don't know any other way.
It is not a benchmark day, but I mean it's one of those days you look at and go, oh my God, he has such a long way to go. As regardless of how well he looked and all the positive press he got in the last 10 days.
He can bury himself so quickly. That's the problem.
Big boy football. I mean, this is it. This is his first big test, and he failed miserably.
Jarrett Stidham, it took like him two practices to bury himself last year,
That's true.
In that quarterback competition. Yeah. Like
I think it was June when he buried himself.
Well, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
Before they brought in Cam, maybe. But like at least it was like a sham of a competition, a faux competition that they had going on. Like this, like I do feel was a real competition, and still maybe, but Mac Jones needs to, he at least needs a draw today, and probably a win today. Another loss today, he could bury himself very quickly. So they're out on the field, I think like an hour from now. Bill is speaking momentarily. Anything happens there, we'll be sure to pass it along. Mike Lockhart with all the latest in-hub headlines, and a former teammate of Tom Brady has weighed in on what he thinks the atmosphere will be like at Gillette Week 4. When Brady returns with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Everything's slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.39 here on the Sports Hub, Tusher and Rich. No Fred, no Rich. Jones, Wallach, Lockhart. Perhaps you've heard the Patriots will be hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers October 3rd, Week 4. Have you guys heard about that? Brady's going to be coming back?
Yeah.
Foxborough?
Yeah.
Should be a tough ticket. Should be a an entertaining game from one standpoint. Brady's return. I don't know how entertaining it'll be on the football field. And so we've been discussing this quite a bit. I mean, really since the schedule came out, on and off Brady's return, really the whole debate around Cam Newton and Mac Jones has sort of centered around that game. A lot of people feel like after the Brady game would be a transition to Mac Jones, which I just think is stupid. If you want to beat Brady, and I think Bill does, Mac Jones should start that game. But whatever, neither here nor there. We've talked a lot about the quarterbacks here this morning. For the Patriots, their ex-quarterback is on the other side, of course, returning on October 3rd. And his former teammate, Vince Wilfork, went on First Take, I believe it was, yesterday. And, well, and you'll hear the question here was asked about what sort of reception Brady's going to get.
So, Vince, we got Tom Brady going back to Foxborough in week four. You obviously played in Foxborough. You played with Tom Brady. What do you think that environment is going to look like in that week four matchup?
I think it's going to be a home game feeling for him. I really do. I think the fans are going to welcome him with open arms. I think he's going to be embraced because of so much he's done for that organization. And, you know, Tom is Tom. You know, a New England Patriot or a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, he's Tom. And people love Tom and people hate Tom. But he's going to a place where he won a lot of football games. He started the Super Bowl runs. And I really think they're going to open him, welcome him with open arms. I really do.
Okay. So Tom is Tom.
It was good that Green Day popped in there. That was good.
That is.
As, good. They're on their way to, they're coming to town, right?
Yeah.
Right, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
Dan's got
tomorrow night
luxury box seats.
No. Yeah. Down on the field with the regular folk, John.
Mingling
in the pit is what you're going to be doing.
But, yeah, it's nice that they brought Green Day in for that interview.
So Tom is Tom, as Wilfork made very clear there. But this caught your eye, Wallach. Why?
Why? Well, first, if you can't see the video on TV, Vince has lost about 75 pounds. That's one. So it was a little jarring to watch him. But the other part of it is, I mean, and we've had this argument back and forth on the show ever since the schedule came out. How would Brady be brought in? And if you're a Patriots fan and you've been holding up that blue wall for that long, shouldn't you choose to root against? If you're rooting for laundry, shouldn't you choose to root against Tom Brady? I mean, all those people who are quick to hop on you, on me, on everyone else on this radio station who dares say one negative thing about the Patriots, you've gotten this on social media. You're further out on that fringe than most of us, Jones. When you dare to criticize, especially in the last year, you don't know what you're talking about. Bill Belichick's a genius. Well, if that's the case, then shouldn't you be rooting against Tom Brady when he arrives here in week four? Or are you a Brady guy and you're not rooting for the Patriots? You really don't care what they do. You only care what Brady does.
See, I think you should absolutely root for the Patriots. Like, you should be rooting for the Patriots.
Yeah.
But I still think Brady should get recognized in game. Like, not before the game, not like a little wave before the game.
But Vince is saying home game, which means it isn't like one spot in game. It's an entire evening.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I don't know what it's going to be. I'm not saying what it's going to be.
This is his opinion.
I understand. I'm not making a prediction is what I'm telling. I'm just telling you what I think. I'm not making a prediction. If you're a Patriots fan, yes, you should be rooting for the Patriots.
Yeah, boom off the field.
You shouldn't be cheering for him and making it a home game. But I think the team should recognize him in game. And they may have no choice, by the way. Like, I had kind of forgotten about this. Brady is like on pace to maybe set the passing record in that game, the all-time passing record, which I don't really care about, but like, they might stop the game when it happens. They did that with Drew Brees at home at the Superdome. Like, is television going to make a big song and dance about it? Will the Patriots allow for that? Will Belichick allow for that? Will he be recognized in game for his return and accomplishments?
No.
He should.
They'll put something up on the Jumbotron.
In game.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'll
so,
be it. There won't be this egregious, ridiculous thing that
so
Drew Brees did.
I don't think they need that either. Again, if Brady breaks the passing record, the Patriots may have no choice but to acknowledge him. They should acknowledge him in game, not before the game, not when he runs onto the field. And I had this debate with Beadle a couple of weeks ago, and Tom Morgan said, well, when Peyton Manning came back with the Colts, all they did was introduce him when he came on the field. Well, yep, that's Peyton Manning. We all agree Brady's better than Manning. Brady should get an acknowledgement in game. He should get an acknowledgement, not before the game where fans might be tailgating and missing it. In game, he should get some sort of acknowledgement for what he did for 20 effing years as the greatest of all time. And Robert Kraft refers to him as the GOAT. For guy, everyone calls him the GOAT, for God's sakes, which is annoying and stupid and a whole nother thing. He should be acknowledged in game.
But say Vince is right and it turns into a home game.
That's embarrassing for the Patriots.
Well, it is embarrassing, but the thing I want is a camera shot on Belichick if that happens.
Yeah, please.
I want a split screen. Inject that into my veins. I want the game on one side of my TV and a shot of Belichick on the other side of my TV if it turns out that when Brady's on the field, people are cheering him on to beat the Patriots defense.
That's
what I want.
Is that a Sunday night game? It's a Sunday night game, right?
Oh, hell yes. It's a Sunday night game.
But so we won't be getting the Manning Supercast is my point.
No, we won't be getting
the Manning Brothers Supercast where maybe we would get a split screen of Bill. No, I honestly, maybe he will. The more I think about this, maybe he will get cheered. No one's showing up to these practices, right? I guess it was better yesterday.
No, but it's the, and people the attendance are like, is way down.
The word has gotten out. But word has gotten out from the Patriots. It's like the Celtics are making sure they get their word out. Like, oh, this is our plan in free agency. The Patriots are making sure to get out. Well, you know, I mean, people are afraid of this and that. They're afraid of the Delta variant. They're afraid of being in a big group. Make sure you get that out there. Like, that's getting circulated by the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case.
I don't think so either. I think the crowds have been fine at Fenway up to and including the concert last night. So I don't think that's the case. I don't think it's going to be an empty Fenway for you there in a couple of days, Dan O'Brien, when Green Day's there. So I don't think that's the problem. Maybe you will get cheered because maybe the reason nobody's showing up in Foxborough, and a big reason no one's showing up in Foxborough, is there's no Brady. So they're all Brady fans anyway. I think we're coming to learn that with the attendance figures down there. Quickly, let's squeeze in Glenn in Natick. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, hey, I was at the game when Adam Vinatieri came back with the Colts. They let him on the field all by himself before the game started after warm-ups, and he got the biggest ovation that I could ever remember in being in that stadium. But as soon as he did something in the game, I can't remember whether it was to kick an extra point or a field goal, he was roundly booed by the fans. So, in other words, they showed him the love before the game, but once the game started, that was it.
Yeah, that's a kicker.
I hope, well.
So it's a Hall of Fame kicker, the greatest kicker of all time. And my recollection, is he right? My recollection is Vinatieri just got booed. Did he get cheered, then booed?
I remember him being cheered.
That's not my recollection, but I wasn't in the building that night, so maybe he's right. That's not how I remember it. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was stupid that Vinatieri got booed every time he came back in. But yeah, that's a kicker.
Right.
And even if it's the greatest kicker of all time, we're talking about maybe the greatest team sport player of all time. Like, he should get a little acknowledgement in-game. What the fans do with that is up to the fans. The team, I'm more interested in how they choose to recognize him, if at all. And they should in-game.
I have a feeling they'll do something at, like, halftime or something. Or
yeah.
Maybe, you know what, where it's nighttime, though, there's going to be, you know, a lot of, like, TV stuff going on.
Beetle was convinced nothing in-game, only pregame.
Yeah, which, I mean, that could
you can't
be.
You can't do something about Brady when Brady's in the locker room.
Right.
You have to do something while he's on the field, so that takes halftime out of it.
Well, unless it's like, you can do it, because he's going to end up going to the locker room. Something, he's not going to be worried about that.
Something where Brady can give everybody in the building a little tip of the cap.
Yeah. A montage, you know, that they give Celtics players whenever they come back.
The Celtics give one to every you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry who came through here.
Yeah.
Like, you can give one to Bill. You can swallow your pride, because this is all about Belichick. Kraft would do it, I think. Belichick. You can swallow your pride to give Brady a little acknowledgement in-game. Not a big thing. You know, we don't have to stop the game if he breaks the passing record, but a little acknowledgement in-game. You can swallow your pride and check your ego for that, right? You should be able to do that, Bill. If the relationship is so good, you should be able to do that. 617-779-0985. By the way, we mentioned the concerts at Fenway Park. Guns N' Roses last night. I think it's Billy Joel tonight.
Yeah.
Green Day, as Dan O'Brien mentioned. Let's get to the concert series at Fenway coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks. They get you going.
That's a difficult thing to get through.
Every day.
That is 4 hours of conversation.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh. Guns N' Roses at Fenway Park last night. Apparently, the Red Sox radio broadcast team was right down the hall. Mid Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
They have a broadcast team?
Radio team?
Oh. Were they unaware that GNR was in town?
That's a good question. I saw that last night on social media that, yes, they were broadcasting from Fenway mid GNR. I don't know if they'll be doing that for Billy Joel, Green Day.
I think it's much easier to do it for Billy Joel.
That's probably a little easier. That's
you
a good
just
point.
close the windows down.
New Kids.
It'll be fine.
New Kids on what day is that? Friday? That'll be.
John's going to that.
It'll be tough to drown out all the screaming in the background of the Red Sox road broadcast. But anyway, I do want to get to that concert last night and the week.
A 22-song tour de force, Jones.
One thing. And Wallach, I guess you mentioned this off the air. It flew right over my head. Shame on me. The Patriots aren't in pads today at practice. I thought they were going to be day two padded practice today.
I would think that is a direct result of how poorly Mac Jones looked yesterday.
Well, so,
would you want him back in pads then?
They might be saying, hey, we can't break the kid's confidence. Let's get him out of pads and let's have a padded a passing practice rather. And
we got to go back and break this down for him again.
I mean, they were just handing off
step by step for the passing offense again.
In a weird way, I think this is a great sign for Mac Jones. I needed something to talk me down off the ledge and maybe I'm grasping at anything, but like, okay. Passing practice, this should be a good day confidence-wise for Mac Jones. Let's start it over again, get in the pads maybe tomorrow, and get back at it. Like, in a weird way, I actually think this is good. Mac Jones looked bad. Cam looked good. Bill said, whoa, what are we doing here? Get the pads off. Let's start over again. Because I don't like... Even Bill knows yesterday was a disaster. And even Bill said, we can't have any more of that. We can't break this kid this early in training camp. Pads are coming back off.
I like it. I like your thinking here, Jones.
That is my conspiracy theory.
I hope you're right.
It has to be related to that.
Yes.
You know, people have pointed out to me on social media, maybe it's because a couple of guys got hurt yesterday, Barmore and McMillan. Nope. Quarterbacks. It's all about the quarterbacks. So anyway, what was the set list last night for GNR? I missed it.
22-song tour de force, Jones. I'm glad you asked. They cranked out the hits. You know, Mr. Brownstone, It's So Easy. You know, Welcome to the Jungle, Live and Let Die, Rocket Queen, You Could Be Mine. Highly underrated song, You Could Be Mine.
Yeah, you were saying that earlier.
That's from the second Terminator movie. Civil War, Sweet Child, and they did Sweet Child of Mine, Knocking on Heaven's Door, and then the encore was Paradise City. But you go, and those are pretty much all the songs you want to hear. So
yeah, I mean,
no November Rain.
November
Rain? That was the one
Rain?
That broke up the
yes,
band.
Yes, oh,
that was at
they
the
did
end
do
too.
November Rain.
They
yes.
did do November Rain.
They did play Chinese Democracy too, which was probably
that's right.
Anything off the spaghetti incident?
Time for a beer.
No. They left the spaghetti incident out. No, we didn't do that.
So they did do November Rain. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what you want, right? At this point in time, I don't want deep cuts.
Yeah.
Right.
This is from our new album coming out in a year.
I certainly don't want that, but I mix in a deep cut or two, I guess. But like, I think everybody's there to hear the hits, I think, at this point.
Even did a Velvet Revolver cover.
Oh.
Yeah.
Slash was in Velvet Revolver.
That's right.
Couple of covers mixed in last night.
My biggest fear going tomorrow night is to, you know, on a Green Day or Weezer or one of the bands just being like, we have a new album we'd like to play, songs off.
Worst.
And I was tempted to, I shouldn't say, I was trying to stay away from looking at set lists because... You know, if you're on tour, sometimes you want to switch it up. But I've looked at the last three set lists for the Green Day show, and it's a hit show.
Okay, good. But that's what you want, right?
Yes.
Like you don't want any deep cuts from what was Murray talking about last week when he was talking about Green Day. You don't want songs off Kerplunk.
No.
Like I don't want that
to prove how big of a fan.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.